I wanted to cover some of the problems and some of the issues that are out there. And I also wanted, just by sitting around and talking afterwards, I did have some questions because there was a gentleman, in fact, he just prayed for us, that came up and asked me for the list where you know, how can I know when I'm looking at a pure Cambridge text Bible? And of course, I brought my Cambridge with me. I think I've got it. Oh, it's right here. In fact, Orlando was looking at that earlier. But how do you know you've got a Cambridge text Bible? And there is a way to know that. And so this is a list of the verses. What did I do with it? I had it a minute ago here before I went and pulled this other thing up. I took a picture of your silver sax, brother, because I'd never seen a silver sax before. I've been in a lot of bands and symphonies and orchestras and all kinds of stuff, but I'd never seen a silver sax. That was beautiful. So I took a picture of that while I was sitting there. But anyway, how to know the pure Cambridge edition of the King James Bible. There's 12 tests that you can give it right there. And so we can, what, email this to you or do a swap, whatever you called it, blue, or we print it or whatever. I can text it to him. You guys print them out or however you want to do it. But there's a test of to see if you've got a Cambridge or not. Because a lot of times you don't know. If I didn't know that this Bible was Oxford, it is. It's Oxford text that Old Schofield uses, which is what this is. And there is a difference between the Old Schofield and the new. This is the only item I really don't have that I can't necessarily leave here, but you can take a picture of it. This comes from Gail Ripplinger. In fact, I brought Gail Ripplinger's books this morning and have them there. I also got some of her, these you could take, I've only got like one of these, but you could take a picture of them or however you want to do that. But this kind of details her book, New Age Bible Versions, sitting on the table over there. And then there's also different editions. There's an Old Schofield and a New Schofield. And they're not the same thing. They say, well, we just kind of updated the notes. Well, that's kind of deceitful since the guy died already, and you're going back and updating his personal notes that are in his Bible, in the Schofield Reference Bible, to the New Schofield. But unfortunately, that's not the only changes they did to an Old Schofield. And we sell at our church, you know, for no profit or whatever, but we do sell at cost the Old Schofield Bible in our little bookcase out there in the foyer area and the coffee bar, a coffee serving thing. And underneath, there's the Old Schofield Bibles. And so a lot of churches use them. A lot of people use them. If I had known earlier, you know, that the Cambridge text was the pure text and it was perfect in the way it was printed and all that, I would have just tried to get a wide margin Cambridge. So you can see with church publishers or whatever, Bearing Precious Seed is another publisher. You can check and see. You can, of course, call and ask them, see what text it is they're using. But church publishers, for some reason I know, is using the Cambridge text. But there is some differences in some of this stuff, so I wanted to share some of this stuff with you between the Old Schofield and the New Schofield. And again, it's Gil Ripplinger spending thousands and thousands and thousands of hours going through this stuff to find the differences in them. And so there was differences. But the problem was they changed the text of the Bible, not just his notes. Because, I mean, yes, this is a Cambridge Study Bible, but it's got the notes of a man in it. So that's just the notes of a man. You know, in some areas good, some areas, you know, I don't know about that or whatever, but you just check all men with the book. But the text itself, pure Cambridge. This Old Schofield here, so this is the Old Schofield from 1909, also printed again in 1917. And then the New Schofield, I forget what year that came out. It's 1967, the New Schofield came out. But it was kind of disingenuous or whatever. Just to sit there and take the guy's stuff, change it. He's dead in the grave, and, you know, this is the New Schofield. You know, we've updated. But they didn't just update the notes. They updated the text. In the Old Schofield, I'll give you the Old Schofield, the verses, you can look at them later or whatever, but just the text where they've changed it. The Bible says, the angel of the Lord. And of course, you know, not in a lot of cases, I've got a whole book on just the angel of the Lord. In many cases, especially over in Exodus and where you have Moses, the burning bush and all that, and the angel of the Lord appears to him in the burning of a bush, and God spake out of the bush. Yeah. That angel of the Lord there is actually Jesus Christ, you know, when you see those places, or God specifically. They have changed devils to demons. Narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. Pretty important verse, right? The new Schofield Reference Bible, it's a King James Bible, But they've changed the text to hard is the way. Hard is the way and narrow is the way are not the same thing. And you're being dishonest by going in there and changing the words of the Bible, all the while selling it as a King James, new Scofield King James Bible. So you can look at, there's a number of these ones. Hell has been changed to Hades. That makes it a whole lot clearer, right? Master has been changed to teacher. And the verses that that happens in are right here on the left-hand column. Damnation in the old Scofield Bible, pretty much no, you know, damnation, you're damned or whatever. Condemnation. Well, you can be condemned and not damned. Yeah. I mean, people in prison have been condemned to 5 years or 15 years or 25 years or whatever. I mean, so you start messing with the Bible, and what the words say is not proper. Anyway, there's a bunch of them on here. You can pop this thing open. I just recommend taking a picture of it if you want. You can go, it's your leisure, then you can take the time to go down through there and flip through there and see what those things say. It's the only one I got of these, so I'll have to take that one with me. But this other stuff I have printed off, I also wanted to share with you. This one talks about her book, The New Age Bible Versions, and here's what some people said about it. Jack Chick, if you know Chick, you got Chick's tracks back there. And of course, Jack, in fact, one gentleman had a Jack Chick book with him this last weekend or the weekend before. There's a lot of great publications that come out of Jack Chick. That's where you get The Answer book by Dr. Gipp, that blue book that I had. I think it's in my bag there. But that blue book from Dr. Gipp is available at Chick Tracks for free if you download it. I think it's $6 if you buy it or whatever. But Jack Chick, you have created a masterpiece, he said. And the guy who made the study Bible here, Dr. Ruckman, here's what he says about her work. Now, he's got 6 degrees that he earned. He started the Christian radio station at Bob Jones University, if you didn't know that. Drawing Men to Christ was his television show. He's written he just passed away at 92. Still out on the street in his 90s, preaching on the street. When I saw him when he was 73, I saw him when he was 83. He was still running 3 miles a day in his bare feet. He was a combat, hand-to-hand combat instructor in the Army, tough as nails kind of guy. 7 feet of books that he has written, 7 feet. Here's what he says about Gail Ruplinger's book, New Age Bible Versions. By far and away, the best and most complete analysis of the King James Version debate that has ever been published. If I could recommend only one book on the King James controversy, I would recommend nothing that I wrote. I would recommend New Age Bible Versions by Gail Ruplinger. It is final. It is definitive. I do not believe it will ever be improved upon. So that's what he said about it. And then I wanted to, I'm going to get into that next. Let me make sure I get that next, because I did mention that weeks earlier, and I want to deliver for you. But when you look through, the whole premise of the New Age Bible Versions is she is showing you and proving by looking at the text and seeing what they've done to it, comparing it to the different modern versions out there with the King James, is showing you that they have changed words because the words formulate doctrine. Remember, all scriptures are given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for proof, for correction, instruction, righteousness, man of God may thoroughly furnish unto all good works. Doctrine is what the Bible teaches. And so by changing the words are put together. You know, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. But you know, encouraging one another so much more as you see the day approaching over in Hebrews. You know, that's a Bible doctrine, not to forsake going to church and the assembly. Because, I mean, you've got a wonderful church family here. It was a blessing to my heart to each week see the same folks coming back and being here and stuff like that. And good turnouts, you know, Sunday morning and even a week ago, Sunday night, there's a good crowd too. So that's encouraging. But it's a close-knit family. You change the words in the Bibles, you lose the doctrine. And what she is showing, that this doctrine is going in the way of the New Age. It's going in the way of the modern Bibles are taking things in a New Age direction that lines up with occultic teaching, satanic teaching. And that's what her whole premise is. And so she goes at great length and a lot of research and footnoted all the way through that 700 or 800 pages in that book. But the new Bibles would just put Christ in 2 Corinthians 5:18. But in the King James Bible there, it's Jesus Christ. Because the Bible itself tells you, even now, are there many Christs?
Yeah, come on.
You know, so, you know, many antichrists and stuff. You've got to, you know, which Christ? The Bible goes to the length, the Lord's Christ. So because there's Christs out there, right? I mean, there's even some guy up here in New Mexico, northern New Mexico, that was, I forget what his name was, a cult guy that I came across. Of course, we've got the whole Dianetics group that put an end-of-the-world bunker between Las Vegas, New Mexico, and the back way to the lake over there, Conscious. On that back road is a L. Ron Hubbard, Dianetics, Tom Cruise, what's that group they're in?
Scientology.
They got an end-of-the-world Scientology bunker right here in New Mexico. Landing strip for the corporate jets and all that kind of stuff. But there's another cult where a white guy with a beard, you know, was doing things he shouldn't do with girls and stuff like that. But anyway, the cults right here in this state that teach the wrong things, Christ instead of Jesus Christ, the Spirit, where the King James says the Holy Ghost. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you know, just a spirit, the Spirit. Well, what spirit? There's a spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience, the Bible says. So, I mean, when you start changing these little, well, they're just little, I mean, you know, it's sort of the same thing. Well, when you put this thing together as a whole, this thing is moving you in the wrong direction. How about one man in John 4:42, where the King James says, God, Christ, the Son, making it real specific, the only one. In Matthew 19:17, and the King James says God. Just these, all these little things that they're doing. A son of the gods, as I told you in Daniel. The modern Bibles do that, where it's the Son of God, capital S, capital G, singular, whereas theirs was a son of the gods, small s, small g, plural, gods. So you've got all these different things. There's three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. 1 John 5:7, that's that Johannine thing this morning. New Bibles, New American Standard, NIV, omits it or tells you to get rid of it. And then she does put a note down here that not all NIVs and New American Standards are, or not all of them, all editions don't exactly match each other. There is a fluctuation and variation between the different NIVs too. So, and now there's even a brand newer, there's a newer NIV that's going to be coming out down the road if it hasn't already. So just these different things that it changes. He, Revelation 21:4, Galatians 1:15, Matthew 22:32, God, God, God. So there's just, it's just a weakening. There's a weakening in many areas. I told you the morning star they'll put in there is falling from heaven when the King James tells you it's Lucifer that falls from heaven. Just over and over and over again, you see these different things. And then the new versions, which are based on, remember we talked about Sinaiticus and Vaticanus manuscripts, which include the Shepherd of Hermes. I gave myself up to the beast, Shepherd of Hermes. Not in your King James Bible, but it's in Sinaiticus. King James, of course, omits that, doesn't put that in the Bible, doesn't put it in there. Receive his name, like you want to receive the beast's name from the Shepherd of Hermes. Of course, that's... King James guys didn't touch that thing. Satan in Lord is in the Epistle of Barnabas. Of course, King James doesn't touch that. So they're showing you just these different things that are here. Again, you can look at this, take a picture of it. You can peruse over it at your leisure and all that. But it tells briefly in this track format what that book is about, because that book's like 700 or 800 pages. So you can take a, if you want to grab an image of that or whatever. This one, in fact, while we get on this, I wanted to get to this next. Remember I mentioned about Frank Logsdon? He was a member of the translation committee for the New American Standard Version of the Bible, NASB, the New American Standard Bible. That's the one that, if I'm not mistaken, unless he's changed, Chuck Swindoll used to use that, James Dobson reads out of that. Here's what he said. He has denounced his work on the Bible and urged all Christians to return to the authorized version, commonly known as the King James Bible. Although the most popular translation at the present time is the New International Version. Both of these modern Bibles, NASV and the NIV, are based upon the same Catholic text, and Logsdon's concerns apply to both of these. And that's the two modern ones that were in that four-volume Bible that I brought this morning that's right sitting right there. So, being involved with the project from the very beginning, Logsdon helped publisher F. Dewey Lockman with the feasibility study that led to the translation, whether, you know, they wanted to make a new Bible and would it be feasible, who could they get, da-da-da-da. He interviewed some of the translators, sat with them, and even wrote the preface to the New American Standard Bible. But soon the questions began coming in. His old friend, Dr. David Otis Fuller, who wrote some books that are in my compilation of notes, which Bible is one of the books Dr. Fuller wrote. There's a few others. He wrote two or three on that very subject. So Fuller, David Otis Fuller, came to him and said, began to put his finger on many of the shortcomings of the Catholic text used in all modern Bibles, which include the NASB and today's NIV. Logsdon finally said, and we're quoting, "I'm in trouble. I can't refute these arguments. It's wrong. It's terribly wrong. It's frighteningly wrong. And what am I going to do about it?" Logsdon shocked publisher Dewey Lockman by writing, quote, "I must under God renounce every attachment to the New American Standard." And again, I have this on video, audio. I have audio of his voice giving this testimony on audio tape, not just this printed words that, you know, I mean, you can find anything today on the internet. I mean, I could make an internet site completely refuting and debunking that whole thing and just make it all up. Well, Frank Logsdon never said that. He was never in that church. I was there. You know, he was never. You can make up anything on the internet and debunk it. But this thing was around, and the audio of this, he's since passed away. But this has been around for decades, okay? So before the internet. In fact, people have a real problem with even the recording that Terry Watkins has of Down in Hell. There's sites, well, that's not true, that's not true, that's been, yeah, okay, well, whatever. You can put anything you want out there, but that thing was around decades before the internet ever showed up. But anyway, let me keep on this one. He said, Logsdon then began to travel extensively trying to make up for his error by explaining to people the very simple reasons why the Authorized Version is the one Bible which is absolutely 100% correct. Along with many other scholars, Logsdon had blindly accepted the basic argument used today to support the use of the two Catholic manuscripts, Vaticanus and Sinaiticus, in all modern Bibles. The experts claim that these are the oldest manuscripts in existence, so they must be the best. In one of his many public speeches, Logsdon explained, quote, "When there is an omission that might be observed, they put in the margin, not in the oldest manuscripts. But they don't tell you what those oldest manuscripts are. So what are the oldest manuscripts? Or they say, not in the best manuscripts." And you'll see those right in your Schofield Reference Bible, has those in the margins. "But they don't tell you." See how subtle that is? They don't tell you, well, the oldest and best don't have that. What oldest and best? What are you talking about? And only in one place in the Schofield, at the end of Mark, do they tell you Vatican and Sinaiticus manuscript. But everywhere else, oldest and best don't have this. That's not, you know, it's not in the oldest. It's not in the best. The two best manuscripts don't have that. But that's what they're referencing the entire time is Sinaiticus and Vaticanus. So the average man sees the notes in the margin and says, not in the better manuscripts. So he takes for granted that these scholars, that well, they must know. And then he goes on. That's how easily one can be deceived. It is only after Logsdon took the time to really look into this issue that he was horrified to see that he had played right into Satan's hands and helped to take many verses out of the scriptures. Logsdon omitted the deletions are absolutely frightening. So to get on deletions, I printed out a couple of these. I'll leave them here. Bible verses that have been removed, right there. In the NIV, I think there's, where's my NIV paper? Right here. The NIV is a couple of these. I'll leave them up here. The NIV completely takes away 17 verses, and they're listed here. The NIV takes away 64,576 words. Remember what Jesus said? If a man loves me, he will keep my words. That's found in the Gospel of John. 64,576 words have been taken away in the NIV Bible. The NIV removes major portions of over 147 verses. And here's a list of them right here. There's a couple of these I printed out in color. A couple of these I printed out. I'll keep these up here. I'll leave them here. You can take them, photocopy them, take a picture of them, whatever, however you want to do that. A huge number of English Bible translations currently available has produced untold millions of dollars in sales. But does anyone believe that they have produced a modern church which is more knowledgeable about their Bible?
Come on.
No, it has produced the Siamese twins of confusion falling away from the truth. All modern Bible translators today use, without question, the New Testament text produced by the famous scholars Westcott and Hort, which I touched on, and what they believed and what their positions were and how they didn't believe stuff and in the Bible, didn't believe the miracles and the different things. But in her book, New Age Bible Versions, author Gail Ripplinger exposes the background and the corrupt theology of these giants. Many readers are surprised at the belief of these men documented by their own writings. Because I told you, Dr. Gipp owns those books at great expense, The Life and Letters of John Fenton Anthony Hort and Brooke Foss Westcott, The Life and Letters of Brooke Foss Westcott, written by his son. And his, so both guys had sons that wrote books about their dads because their dads were pretty famous. And still, the point is, still follow today. These guys started a ghostly guild and did seances. What would you even be going to them to get a Bible for?
Right.
When you, that stuff is absolutely forbidden. I mean, we know that, right? I've got a couple places in my Bible. I wasn't planning on pulling this out. I don't know how quickly I can find it. But in Isaiah, I'm thinking around chapter 18, you know what I'm going to be looking for? I'm going to be looking for this dark crystal ball. I think that's what I wrote in that spot in my Bible. But I've got some places in my Bible, a couple of places marked. I don't know if I can find it that quick. Hopefully I could, or if not, I'll just move on. But you're told not to, there it is. All I had to do was look for a black crystal ball. That's why I draw them things, some silly things in there so I can find them. You're told to stay away from stuff like that. In Isaiah chapter 47, verse 10, for thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. So you can do it in secret. It doesn't make any difference, right? Well, God sees in secret. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. Knowledge and wisdom, what these two guys had, the scholar, Westcott and Hoare, were far above anybody at their time, except for Dean Bergen, who was a contemporary who was writing against them and what they did. But they wouldn't even read his book. So thy knowledge and wisdom, I'm in verse 10, it hath perverted thee, and thou hast said in thine heart, I am, and none else besides me. That's what God said, they said in their heart. Therefore shall evil come upon thee, thou shalt not know from whence it ariseth, and mischief shall fall upon thee, thou shalt not be able to put it off, and desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know. Stand now. Here's God challenging guys that think they're smart. Stand now, verse 12, with thine enchantments and with the multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. If so be, thou shalt be able to profit. If so be, thou mayest prevail. Verse 13, thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers and the stargazers and the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. Because God's going to put judgment on them. And he's telling them, if that stuff, turn to your astrology and your stargazers and your monthly prognosticators and see if they can help you. Behold, verse 14, they shall be as the stubble. The fire shall burn them. That's personal. Personal fire burning, personal people. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. So that's one spot where, you know, that type of tapping into the spirit world or that tapping into divination where you can divine the future and what you think's coming by reading the stars or doing astrology. My mom was all into that stuff. See, there was stuff in our household growing up that my mom shouldn't have had in the house. Astrology, she was all into that stuff. This was real big in the 70s, really big stuff. Late 60s, early 70s, astrology was huge. And my mom would plot, you know, where the stars were at the moment that you were born. And, you know, that puts this in the house of this and the house of the rising sun or whatever. But it, you know, breaks things apart and all that. And then you could look and you're told not to mess with that stuff in the Bible right there. There's other warnings. Deuteronomy chapter 18, there was the 18 I had in my head. It's actually Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9 and 10. So you write the stuff in your Bible. As long as you get the Bible in your hands, you've got it for the rest of your life. Guess what we got over here? A black crystal ball in Deuteronomy chapter 18. Then I wrote the references. Watch this one, verse 9. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations, plural. Verse 10, Deuteronomy 18:10. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his sons or his daughters to pass through the fire, because that's what the heathen were doing. Multiple times in the Bible, they were killing their kids. That's spoken of against the Bible. Be nice if America would listen to that. You don't kill your kids, okay? Or use divination. That's to divine the future, to figure out what's coming in the future. Oh, I believe now that we're going to see this and this is going to happen. And that's someone trying to find out what's coming. You want to find out what's coming? God wrote it in the book.
Amen.
It's all in the book of Revelation. He'll tell you what's coming. And there's more places than that. Peter, 2 Peter, I think, the heavens and the earth will melt with a fervent heat. The elements shall melt. I worked at a national laboratory in Los Alamos for 15 years. I've been at Sandia National Laboratory for 13 years. When I walked around the lab, guess what I saw? Pictures of Einstein everywhere, offices and offices. He's glorified and glamorized, and they just love the guy. Got wild pictures of him sticking his tongue out and his hair, you know, crazy. But on the walls around the national laboratories everywhere is something called the periodic table of elements. Scientific, right? The Bible told you that thousands of years ago. The elements will melt with a fervent heat. So the Bible was as current as your morning newspaper. Scientists eventually figured out these different periodic table of elements. Well, thanks for catching up. So you don't use divination or be an observer of times or an enchanter or a witch or a charmer or a consulter with familiar spirits or a wizard or a necromancer. That's someone contacting the dead. Seances were contacting the dead. The ghostly guild was trying to make contact with ghosts to give guidance. That's what Westcott and Hort were practicing. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Verse 13, thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations, plural, which thou shalt possess, hearken unto observers of times, unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. I mean, right there. Jeremiah 27, 9 and 10, Daniel 2, 2, Acts 8, 5 to 25, Acts 16, verses 16 to 18, Acts 19, verses 11 to 19. A whole bunch of other places you have warnings in your Bible. You don't mess with that stuff. And so he was referencing Gail Ripplinger. Anyway, you can. There's a couple of these, I think, up here, so you're more than free. Yeah, there's two of them. One I printed in a bigger font that took two pieces of paper and a staple. This one's a smaller font. And again, I'll just leave the stuff here. You can take pictures of it. You can take it with you, whatever you want to do. We talked about the different words that were in the different versions of the Bible. The King James said coasts in Matthew 2:16, but the New American Standard says environs. So if I had done a little pop quiz, what does environs mean? And go look it up if you want to in Matthew chapter 2, verse 16. And you have to pull open this blue book and go read it. But what is it? In the King James, it was coasts. Like up and down the coast. Like where I'm from, there's a whole coast. Did you know that the coast of Maine is longer? There's more miles in the coast of Maine than there is in California. I'm from Maine. I know those little tidbits. You know why? Because Maine is rocky and does all this going in and out and harbors and just, I mean, it's endless where California is. You know, with a few little places, you know, San Francisco and stuff that it goes in, but the rest of it's pretty much straight. There's more coast in Maine than there is in California, even though Maine's a little state like this on the map, and California's like that on the map if you pull them together. But the word in the Bible was coasts. In the King James, it was penny, Matthew 20, verse 2, but it's denarius. You would have known denarius when you read it in easier to understand New American Standard. It's nonsense, the stuff they're telling you. In Matthew 27, 27, in the New American Standard, the word is praetorium. Well, pray tell, what does that mean? That's my best Benny, if anybody knows Benny. Who was it? He was a clarinet player, brother. He played clarinet, if I'm not mistaken. And he also had a TV show back in the 50s, and he'd go. He was famous for that pose. But anyway, pray tell, what does praetorium mean? How about a King James Bible that tells you that it's just a common hall? But the King James, you can't understand it. You know, in the modern Bibles, it's so much easier to understand. It's a lie, folks. There's a pile of these. I won't read them all, but they're right here in yellow. How about in Acts 1:7, where the New American Standard tells you epochs? Epochs. E-P-O-C-H-S. Epochs. In the King James, it tells you that that's a season. Again, I'll just leave them up here. Do with whatever you want. But I mean, the stuff is nonsense, but they sell books. And that's what I'll call them. They sell books. The Bible tells you, isn't it, in Ecclesiastes, there's no end to the making of books. And it tells you some real stuff. I mean, much study doth make one weary. I mean, it is weary to study through 500, 600, 800 books or whatever that I did during those years that I was in the SWAT team. There is much study, but to the making of books, there's no end. And so it just goes on and on and on. What they do. Well, people then get tricked. There's some tracks here. I've only got one of these ones, so I'll be taking these too. But this was real big just a number of years ago, the John MacArthur Study Bible. Remember that one? That was pretty popular. See, I used to be in Christian bookstores quite a bit, especially when I was up in Idaho in the 80s. John MacArthur was real big. He was real popular in California, his own John MacArthur Study Bible. How about this about John MacArthur? Quote, I believe that Jesus was 100% man, and as man, he had human blood. This is John MacArthur now. Has his own study Bible. I do not believe that there was something in that blood itself that saves people. He said, I do not believe. Okay. There is nothing in the blood to save, or Jesus Christ could have bled on people and not died at all. Just walk, you know, cut himself open and drip blood on folks as he went around. Some wild teaching. This guy's respected. John MacArthur is well respected.
That's right.
He could have cut his finger and that would have been enough if it was just the bleeding. He says, I believe that we are saved through the sacrificial death of Christ. Well, that sounds okay. I mean, he did die in our place, but the problem is he's got a problem with the blood.
Come on.
A death in which he shed his blood. Well, thank you very little. It was, quote, it was not Jesus' physical blood that saves us, but his dying on our behalf, which is symbolized by the shedding of his physical blood. John MacArthur, in his Hebrews commentary, Moody Bible Institute, 1983, it was on page 237, John MacArthur's New Testament commentary, which sold a lot of books too. How about what the Bible says?
Come on, amen.
Jesus said, did not have human blood, since he was God manifest. He showed up so you could see him. That's what manifest means, to be shown, to see. He was manifest in the flesh. God showed up in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16, he had God's blood. Acts 2:28 tells us, feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood.
Amen.
Didn't just purchase it with his own flesh or whatever, although that was there too. But the Bible points out that he purchased with his own blood, making the putting the emphasis on blood. The blood does not save? Really? What do you call Romans 5:9 being justified by his blood? How about Ephesians 1:7, having redemption through his blood? See, the Bible's putting the emphasis on the blood. John MacArthur's taking the emphasis off of it.
Yeah.
You've got to watch these guys. I mean, he's a well-respected guy making Bibles, putting Bibles out, his big old commentary series and all that. And people watching him on TV and had a big old mega church or something. You know, I think his church was pretty good size and all that. I don't know how he's doing today. I haven't kept up with him. But being made nigh by his blood in Ephesians 2:13, given peace through the blood, Colossians 1:20. See, the God puts an emphasis on that blood. For without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. I mean, come on, how about that one? The Jews wouldn't be tricked like the modern Christians are. Because the Jews, I mean, remember that song? Have you guys ever heard that song? One Holy Lamb. You heard the song? Talks about from year to year, they would bring the lamb and the kid would, I'm paraphrasing the song. I don't have the song. I'm not a musician. I'm like you, brother. I play and I don't do a whole bunch of singing with my trumpet. I just play in the orchestra. And of course, they're singing the words to everything. So I'm, you know, more the music of it and don't know all the words to the songs or whatever. But in that piece, One Holy Lamb. I'm sure that's the song. Isn't that the song where the kid, year by year, they would bring that offering and you would watch that thing get, that one little lamb. What a great song it is. My son sings it. It's one of my favorite songs. I wish I ought to be able to quote the thing, right? But go look at the words of the song, One Holy Lamb. And they were reminded year after year after year after year. It was the shedding of blood. It was the shedding of blood. It was going to cost somebody who didn't do nothing. That little lamb. Well, Daddy, why is a little lamb going to die? Well, son, that's just picturing down the road. God himself will provide a lamb.
Amen.
And so it was, a Jew isn't going to mess that blood thing up. They're seeing the blood. The blood, it's the blood, it's the blood, it's the blood, it's the blood. Bring the sacrifice, bring the sacrifice. Look, this thing is so important. Here's one of them questions for Bible college. Here's one of the questions I asked when I was in Sunday school. Boy, I was a student, I guess, and a half when I was sitting in Sunday school. One time I asked a question. Look, I have questions too. Why in the millennium, now this is after the rapture, we've gotten raptured up, we're with Jesus and all that stuff like that. And you know, that's when all the terrible stuff in Revelation happens to the heathen and the unbelievers on earth. And God's chosen people, the Jews, he's working with them, and he saves them miraculously, and he feeds them with manna from heaven, and the Antichrist and devil's armies are going wild and killing people and everything else. It's a terrible time, as documented in the book of Revelation, but also you've seen on Left Behind movies and things like that. When we come riding back down at Battle of Armageddon with Jesus, and he goes out by himself, we just sit back on our horses and watch the show, man. And if you're allergic to horses like my daughter was, I said, hallelujah. You're going to get a horse, and guess what? The allergies are gone.
Yeah.
And then my wife will be shouting probably louder than everybody else because, she, like I told you this morning, she has allergies about 11 months of the year. So you get to heaven, there's no allergies anymore. And you ride a horse and you're not allergic to them. And you come riding back down on your horse and Jesus Christ goes out and tramples them in the fierceness of his wrath to the blood to the horses. So the first time Jesus was here, his blood was all over his clothes. When he comes back, there's going to be blood on his clothes, but it ain't going to be his. He's going to have blood up to the horse. Who is this that comes riding out of Basra with garments dyed red? A Bible verse that never makes it to the Christian radio. That's one of those pieces. Remember I told you I'd tell you? Remind me later and I'll give you out of my Bible. If I've got it right here, I'll hand it to you now. But I have a paper, things I've learned through meditation. I think it's right in here. But one of those things, I think I got it here. I think that's it right there. Check it out. But anyway, I can print myself another one if that's what it is. But he comes back with blood. See, his blood is on the mercy seat. You ever thought about this? This is one of those things you get on your swing, brother. One of these days when you get to heaven, his blood was not left on the ground at Calvary. Remember, he said, "Don't touch me. I have not yet ascended to my Father." And a couple hours later, he was letting people touch him. In those 2 hours, which scholars think about 2 hours, he took the blood. Because why were the priests, the high priest, once a year, taking the blood into the inner, to the Holy of Holies, once a year, first for himself and then for the people, and sprinkling it on the mercy seat? Why was the great high priest doing that? Because Jesus is our great high priest, which the entire book of Hebrews tells you he was. So during that 2 hours, Jesus, we just know this. Yeah, I got a law enforcement mind that God gave me. And that's my training, and that's my years of stuff, doing the security for the nukes, not in the civilian world, out on the streets of a city or something, but protecting the nukes. But the security police training is security police training is police training. Is we all have the same type of training. We all do the same type of shooting. But it gave you the mind to look at that thing. He has showed you that the high priest puts the blood on the mercy seat. And we're told in the Bible that the mercy seat down here in the covenant, in the tabernacle and all that was a picture. Yeah. Moses up on the mountain was shown what the real one looked like. And I want you to build this one and it'll be down here. And then the craftsmen were given the skill to be able to do all that stuff. And they made those items that went in there. Those items were just a picture of what really existed. And so when he died, his blood's not out there like, you know, a beast or something, animal killed outside and it's just left on the ground. And, you know, coyotes and dogs come by. And that's not what's happening to his blood, folks. He took his blood and put it on the mercy seat. Amen. This is one of the things that came to me just on my swing, just meditating on reading the Bible and what God will give you. He put his blood on the mercy seat. One day you will see the blood that bought and paid for your sin.
Amen.
You'll see it. It still exists.
Yeah.
It's not just buried down in the dirt somewhere and he's going to wipe, you know, melt the whole heaven and the earth and the blood's all gone and melted and stuff. It was placed on the mercy seat. So his blood. When God looks at us and he takes our sin and takes it and casts it as far as the east is from the west, not the north and the south, because when you go north, you eventually start going south. And then when you get down to the bottom, and you start going north again. But when he takes your sin and casts it from the east as far as it is from the west, you can keep going east and east, throw it to the east and 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 the east. It never becomes all of a sudden the west. He takes our sins and hide them behind his back. He casts them in the depths of the sea. God's forgetfulness, your sin. You've heard that song. What sin are you talking about? Have you heard that song? Sound Doctrine's a good group that sings it. A lot of good groups sing it. What sin are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. I've already forgiven it. It's gone. It's done. So those are just some special things. And you get these guys that want to tamper with the blood of Christ. They want to mess with it? Are you kidding me? But they're believed. People follow them. They got huge colleges and big, you know, they got their own study Bibles and all that. You got to check. You got to know your Bible well enough.
Yeah.
That it is, if you would know a real carpenter if you saw one. Walk through Home Depot sometime. You'll see the guys who really do it. Now, there may be some guy like me walking in there because a wife, you know, needs light bulbs or something, and we've run out and burned out. And so I'm walking through there looking for, hey, can I help you? Well, yeah, where's the light bulbs at? Well, they're down this aisle over here. Oh, okay. But you can tell the guys who know what they're doing. They got their stuff on them. They're carrying it. The guy walks in there. You'll see him. If anybody really knows how to use it, it's a carpenter, knows how to use it. He'll pull one of them things off there. You'll see them flipping that thing around, laying that thing out, stretching some things. They can walk in a room and yeah, we're going to, and put it right back. They've got it on them. They can pull it out in a second and use that thing like a police officer would pull out his tool and use it if necessary. But they'll whip that thing around. They know what they're doing, but they'll measure. I take that as I'm a visual type of guy. I take that illustration. How about a Christian that when he hears something on the radio, bam, wait a minute. There's verses in my head just screaming at me. That's not right. That's violating this scripture. That violates that scripture. That violates that scripture. Like those verses right there on the blood. It's through his blood washed our sins away. I mean, we send songs. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Christ. Why do we sing that? Because it's in the Bible.
Yes, that's right.
That's why the old hymns are good.
Amen.
Because the old hymns, before they had Facebook, believe it or not, before there was CDs, before there was records, okay, I lost you. Before there was all this stuff, I meant to bring that, but I forgot to grab it. There was one book I was going to bring, but Clarence Larkin's books, Outside the Bible and Good Concordance and Bible Program. I love Clarence Larkin's books. You can look those up. Great book on dispensational truth. I meant to grab that and bring it in to show it to you because I mentioned it a few times. Forgot to do it. They're still available. Those things were written like turn of the century. Oh, you mean like 2001? No. The other century. These books were written like before there was radio, before there was TV, back when Bible teachers and Bible preachers had their Bible and they farmed for their food and nobody went anywhere. I mean, they just stayed on the farm and helped with the farm and helped with the food. And the guys that had a Bible didn't have, you know, a bunch of games, DVR, you know, DVD or whatever it is. I don't, but you know, all the stuff lined up and they got all their shows that they got to watch. And back when guys knew their book, knew the Bible, you ended up with a different class of people.
Yeah.
You ended up with people that knew the scriptures. You ended up with Bereans that were more noble than those in Thessalonica. For after they heard Paul preaching, and he could raise people from the dead, so his preaching had power in it, they still went home and checked what he said.
Come on, that's good.
That's important, folks. It was important then. It was so important, God said, you know what? I think I'm going to put that in the Bible. And I'm going to leave it there. So when heaven and earth passes away, you'll know that there was a class of Christians that were a tad bit more noble than the rest of them. That when they heard the preaching of Paul, they'd go home and check him out. Well, he's, you know, he's referencing a lot of Old Testament scripture there. I'm going to go check that out and see if that's really in there. Would to God today we had Christians that knew their Bibles so well.
Yeah, amen.
That knew those statistics and facts and stuff in their Bible as well as they knew how many, you know, yards on first down, what was the average yards per carry on the football. Because I like football too, okay? I'm not just hammering people that like football. I like football too. In fact, my team won today, brother, and I didn't get to see it. And they just lost four in a row. They were number one in the NFL, and then they took a dive in four. I'm a Vikings fan. They were number one for a while at 5-0. But anyway, so I like football too. There's nothing. Do you understand there's no sin in football? Unless I stayed home to watch my team win one and skip this.
Yeah.
Then now my team and what happened in football was more important than meeting with you folks.
That's right.
But what's more important than meeting with you? This was important to me.
Amen.
I hope it was good for you. I mean, I hope it helped you in some way. I want to help you beyond today. And I like truth and transparency, as you know. So I said, brother, don't pay me. I'll do this for free. I want to be a blessing to the people. I said, take the money, because normally you'd help somebody that preaches and gas and this and that. I said, I'm doing fine. Lord's blessed me. Praise the Lord. Get the guy with the Bibles that can show you this stuff. Use the money to get him over here, because it's a long way from Amarillo. I mean, it's 300 and whatever miles. You know, it's going to be a tank of gas over here, a tank of gas back, and he's lugging all this stuff with a trailer or whatever, however he's doing it. I said, use the money for that, and they can get a double blessing. I came and tried to be a blessing to him. Don't pay me. I mean, I know workman's worthy of his hire, double, you know, all that kind of stuff. I know all that. But I'm also authorized or allowed to say, no, I don't want it. I don't need it. In fact, last time I was here, you guys gave me a check. I turned around and gave it back. I didn't take it. That's not the point. I'm not here to make filthy lucre. And that's what the Bible calls it. I'm here to try to be a blessing to you and a help to you. Not come here to make money off you or whatever. Now, not every person can do that. If they're a missionary, they're traveling all over the country. You got to support your missionaries. I mean, they're driving. They'll drive 400 or 500 miles just to have a meeting.
Yep.
And that's two tanks of gas. So, I mean, you help them out and you do pay them. But when, you know, I'm local. I live here. I mean, I'll help. I'll be more than happy to help you anytime I can.
Amen.
You know, without expense or without cost. I don't put that as a plug for myself, but I like truth. And when you're raised on the Bible and the Bible is everything to you, then truth matters. So when the media is lying to you, it really irks me because I love truth. Raised on truth, you know, I mean, once I got saved, reading my Bible, the truth does matter. And openness and transparency and stuff matters. I told my boss at work, I said, that's what matters to me. For work, it was mission first. We'll get the mission done. So we work all around the clock, crazy hours, weekends. One holiday, Thanksgiving weekend, we were at work on a Saturday. I said, we will get the mission done. And number two, because they said, well, give us three words that describe. Okay, mission, truth, transparency. Bingo, that sums it all up right there. That's who you got working for you when we worked for that new manager. That's what mattered. But you know why those are important to me? Because of mission, Jesus Christ came to, starts with an S, seek and to save the lost.
Amen.
It was all about mission. When he's walking up to Jerusalem on that last time, and he pulls in view, you can see it on the Jesus film because they took the Gospel of Luke and followed that thing verbatim. No added up make-believe talks around the fire. You can go online and watch it, the Jesus film. You can stream it right there, multiple languages. You can order it. It's cheap. It's like $5 or whatever. I did look at that video. Is not on currently, at least in our Walmart. Is not, maybe it, you know, April time frame coming up to Easter time frame as the world celebrates. Maybe you'll see this for $5 at Walmart. But that's, you know, but they didn't have the Jesus film. I looked for it. Maybe they'll put it up, you know, since Christmas time coming up or whatever. But you can watch the film. And they show you, because God's blessed that film like no other film on planet Earth, because it follows his words and keeps his words. And they don't make up stuff. And so as he's walking up on the way to Jerusalem, and he stops and pauses. Oh, how often would I have gathered you as a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings to protect them, and you would not. He stops and pauses because he knows, and the Bible says he set his face steadfast. Because it was all about mission. He wasn't going to be persuaded. He wasn't going to be, you know, sidetracked. Or he was headed to Jerusalem to pay for our sins. Because it was mission was important. Second word I used was truth. I wonder where I got that idea from. Pilate stood right looking straight in the face of Jesus. And said, what's truth? Dude, you're looking at him. Did you miss it? His wife even warned. Remember I told you women are more spiritual than men most of the time? Don't touch him. Don't mess with this one. I've had a dream about him. Don't mess with him. She was warned. And she warned her husband. Good help me.
Amen.
Amen. Good help me. Don't mess with him. And he stood up there. I find no fault. Three times, if I'm not mistaken, three times. Three. Trinity, three. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, right there. All of them embodied in Christ. If you see me, Philip, you've seen the Father. Three times. But I don't find any fault in him. Well, you're in charge. Let him go. But see, that wasn't in the cards, so to speak. Remember that little track I brought this morning about the cards and gambling and all that? No, God had set it up so that he would be betrayed. He set it up so that he was warned. He can't stand in front of, well, who would you? I mean, I didn't know. Your wife told you. See, he's going to stand before God one day too. You ever thought? Here's another thought for the swing, brother. How about those guys in the praetorium? You know, that big common hall. How about those guys? Boom! Guy's holding him blindfolded, see? The other guy's smacking him. How would you like to be one of those guys that raised your hands and decked God? And one day those guys are going to look at him and go, oh my word, oh my, oh my. They'll fall. They're going to collapse. The guys that hit him and beat him and smacked him in the head with a staff, bam! So I used to teach martial arts overseas too. Bam! And they whacked him in the head with the staff, are going to look at him one day and say, oh my, I tell you, it shall be more tolerable. Yeah. And your mind goes right to that, where it's going to be pretty rough on some folks and more tolerable for some others. I'm going to be too tolerable for him.
Right.
And then that one centurion, I knew he was dead. Comes the water and the blood. Well, truly, this was the Son of God. That guy, we'll see him too. But where do you get the concept of truth? Right here. It's right here. Mission, truth. And the other word that was pretty important to me personally was transparency. So I was a little bit transparent with you tonight. I tried to be transparent with you all 3 weeks I've been here. Told you a little bit of my wife's testimony. What am I bragging on her when she wasn't here this morning? I'm bragging on her. I told Miss Ida, I saw Miss Ida Sarigard this week, the black lady that 80 years old, hands and knees. You know her. You guys have seen her. What a lady she is. I've been praying already for a good long time and will continue. Who is going to be Ida Sarigard when Ida Sarigard is no more? But I saw Mrs. Ida Sarigard this week in Mrs. Lenatine's office. I think it was would have been Wednesday night. Should have been Wednesday night. That's when I was in church last at our place. And I said, hey, Miss Ida. Oh, no, it was Monday night. It was Monday night this past. Anyway, it didn't make any difference. My brain. It didn't make any difference when I seen her, but I did see her this past week. And I said, hey, Miss Ida. Miss Lenatine sitting at her desk. I said, hey, all the folks at Liberty Baptist Church know about you now. I said, I know you don't care. You're embarrassed and you wouldn't want nothing said. I said, don't make no difference. So was that lady that came and cried on Jesus' feet and brought that ointment and anointed her head, his head, and cried on his feet and dried his feet with her hair. God said, I tell you that this, what this woman hath done, heaven and earth will pass away and we'll still know. Wouldn't that be a cool lady to meet, ladies, huh? Wouldn't that be meet the, I want to meet her. Man, what a lady. We've been talking about her for thousands of years.
Yeah.
She had the mission right. She knew who the truth was. And I'll tell you, she wasn't too embarrassed to cry in front of Jesus. She wasn't. But we'll remember her. But it's truth and it's transparency. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples? Look, I come and I speak to these things. I tell you these things at night. Go out and publish them from the rooftop. This stuff doesn't done in secret. When they came to get Jesus, he said, why is it that you come and try to get me in the middle of the night like a thief or something? You know, when darkness rules. Every day I was in the temple teaching. You didn't raise a finger. I'm paraphrasing there a little bit. But you didn't come after me then. What he taught, they proclaimed publicly. He didn't have some secret agenda that you would later find out about, you know, through emails or whatever. You know, just secret, a spy or somebody letting a secret out later that different things have taken place and they may have been gun running to the Syrians, running guns, and that's why we had to kind of let the Libya guy just get wasted. There's different things that are out there. Maybe there's something to that. But instead, it was transparency. So Jesus didn't leave us in the dark. In the Old Testament, I'll close it down here. I wanted to open it up if there's any other questions or whatever. But in the Old Testament, Abraham's camped out in his tent because they're nomads, they live in tents. He's sitting in the door of his tent and he looks up and he sees three. He doesn't see six, doesn't see five, doesn't see nine. He sees three. And he sees these three men, none of them were female, come walking. And he runs out to meet them and said, please come to my... It's not much, but this is what we have. It's a tent. Come to our tent. I'll have my wife fix you food and dinner and stuff like that. You've been journeying, and I'm just paraphrasing here. But he says, honey, make dinner. Get a lamb and slay it and prepare dinner. We've got guests here. One of them is God. Jesus says God the Father is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Truth. Well, I just thought I was doing it right. I thought this was okay. In truth.
Wow.
One of them's God. The other two we believe are angels, which always appear as men and they never have wings.
Amen.
That's why the Bible says many have entertained angels unaware, didn't even know, because they're always men and they never have wings, but they can fly. But Jesus can fly too and didn't have wings either. So they fly the same way. They just up they go. That was God. And he's walking down to Sodom and Gomorrah. After dinner, had a nice dinner with him, you know, said, you know, in time, your wife is going to have a child. And she's in the tent laughing. Do you know God's got a sense of humor? You know what they called the child? He said, you laughed. No, I didn't laugh. Right to God, she starts lying. Embarrassed and shamed, kind of caught or something. I didn't know he heard me. No, you did laugh. Thou did laugh. They're going to name him Isaac. You know what Isaac means? Laughter. So you don't forget when I told you you were going to have one. And he getting ready, God's going to head down to Sodom and Gomorrah and destroy the place. And he starts walking off and he said, am I going to keep this thing hidden that we're going to do? Knowing that Abraham is going to have a family because I said so. And he's going to raise his kids after me. And they're going to follow me and they're going to do right. Like your kids. Am I gonna keep from him and just hide from him what I'm going to do? He goes back and tells him what he's going to do. Because he believes in transparency. And he tells you the beginning from the end. And so he goes back and tells him. And then Abraham got relatives down there. Wonder if God knew that. Of course he did. Maybe why he brought it up. So then he prays to God. That's what prayer is. Ask. Well, Lord, I mean, are you going to destroy the righteous with the wicked? I mean, you're God. Holy, just, all that. I mean, you know. Let's say there's, you know, 50 people down there. Well, for 50, I won't do it. And you know how the thing goes. Forgive me. I've went ahead and spoke. Let me speak. How about if there's 45? Would you wipe the place out for 45? You know the problem with this thing? He's going down and down and down and down, and he gets it down to 10. And he finally says, for 10, I will not do it. You know what God was expecting out of Lot? Who first pitched towards Sodom. Yeah. And then later, of course, if you start leaning, once you leave, you basically don't come back. He kind of pitched towards Sodom, and eventually he's in Sodom, and then all of a sudden he's in the gate, like running the place. Because that's where the leaders, you know, they sit in the gate and make decisions and, you know, council meetings and... You know what Abraham was expecting Lot to have done? Yeah. To have a mission and take the truth and be transparent about it and tell somebody that you got saved. Tell somebody you found the Savior. That's what he's expecting, something out of Lot. If Lot, because he's got his wife there, right? There's Lot and his wife. If he's not mistaken, he has what, two kids, right? And their husbands. So here we are right here, right? There's six of them. If there's 10, I won't destroy the place. There's 19 here. You know what he was expecting them to do? To tell somebody. If they could, he lost his wife. The girls lost their husbands. You know, the sin and debauchery and the drunkenness and sleeping with the dog. Well, there's no man in the land and now it's incest. And do you know those kids are the same enemies of Israel? If you follow that thing out, his girls that slept with dad and got him drunk and he didn't even know and all that. Ammonites and somebody else. Huh? Moabites and the Ammonites come from them. And then Israel's fighting the Amorites later. What a mess that sin did. But he was expecting someone to take a mission, take the truth, have some transparency and share it with somebody else. Those just seem to be the three words that came to me tonight. That's what he was expecting them to do. And he goes down there, and they couldn't lead four people to, in a sense, like we would say today, lead them to Christ. We know they didn't know about Jesus yet, and there's no Romans Road and all that. But they could have at least warned them that judgment was coming, and you ought to repent and maybe try to get right with God. They could have told them that.
Yeah.
Like Jonah. That Nineveh, that great city, is going to be overthrown. And he ran from God. And you know the whole story with that. But boy, when he come walking into town... And you know there's actually been people swallowed before and that they found the next day? Do you know that that's documented in the chick track on Jonah? It's a comic book, adult comic book. There's actually been someone swallowed by a great fish. This guy comes walking back into town, a mess, and witnesses, boy, and that town repents. Well, he was expecting them to do that. And when he goes down there, there's not even, they couldn't get four. Six could not lead four to God or to a decision to repent and get right. Is that wild? That's unbelievable. You know why you're here? Do you got a mission?
Amen.
You got the truth in your hands? Hopefully you know now. I mean, I believe it is. At least that's what the guy said, you know. He's got some stuff. He showed me some things. We can look at some stuff. I think, you know, I got the truth right here. How about being a little transparent and saying, hey, let me tell you the greatest thing that ever happened in my life 35 years ago. And I won't go into it, but 35 years ago as a 17-year-old kid. Greatest decision in my life. He'd expect you to do that with what you have. Especially after the people that paid for you to do that. Because someone came before you and paid dearly for you to hold the book you got in your hands. Isn't it funny? There was nobody dying for this one, brother.
That's right. Come on.
Hey, nobody did not. Where's that little, there's another one here that was the JW one. I mean, there's nobody dying. It's right over here. New World Translation. That's the Jehovah's Witnesses. Most of these are green. Mine's a little green. Mint julep green. We call them the little green monster. But this is the one that took Jesus out and put Jehovah in all over the place. Took yeah. Jesus out like that somehow authorized. Nobody died for this one that I know of. They got burned on the stake for this one.
That's right.
And for the Coverdale Bible and the Tyndale Bible and the ones that preceded this from the right texts, because there's really just two lines of text. A pure line that comes from the Byzantine, Syrian, Antioch area and the Alexandrian corrupt Egypt text. There's two lines, pure and corrupt. So I'll close her there.